Welcome back to the Green Zone. My name is Britton Grain. I am in for Jamie and Walker for this Thanksgiving Monday edition of the show. Quick Jays update, still 3-3. Dalton Varsho had to make quite the dive and catch to stop Cal Raleigh from getting a base hit there, possibly more, as the Jays look to even things up in the American League Championship Series at 1-1. Well, let's touch base with Green Zone game day analyst Belton Johnson a couple of days after the Riders' big win. So, Belton, what just are your thoughts on it?
Well, the Argos, they're one of the worst teams in the league, right? And so I just was hoping and expecting a big blowout by the Riders, but it didn't happen. But I will say, you know, compared to last week when they played the Red Blacks, they did look a bit better. So I'll take it at that. And again, the offense, they got going in the first quarter there. They got started fast. And, you know, they got up there and everything. They were up 6-1. And again, I think I told you originally that I thought they had missed the extra point, but they missed out on the 2-point convert, which is okay. Defense, you know, they did their thing. You know, they always do. They're getting pressure there and everything. But I'm going to tell you that, to me, the biggest part of that game, Britton, believe it or not, it was the kicking of Brett Lowther. And because he nailed all 5 field goals, they needed every one of those points to get that win. So I'm pleased, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Brett Lowther finally had his bounce back game we've been looking for. Belton, you've been hard on him all season long, but has he shown you enough where you're sticking with him at that point now?
You know, I have to compare to other kickers and everything, right? And I'd rather take that experience that Brett Lowther has. And, you know, I don't know. It's something about this game against the Argos where he just looked different. Those kicks were right down the middle. You know, previously I think some kicks were going, then they swayed to the left or to the right. And, you know, and again, with him nailing all 5 of them, I'm okay with sticking with Brett Lowther. And again, it's based on the experience that he has and everything.
And so when you look at that game, it felt like a second straight week, for me at least, that they left you wanting more. This is a team that we think is going to go to the Grey Cup, that we think has a chance at winning it this year. But against the Ottawa and Toronto, 2 teams eliminated, they didn't really blow them out. Is that a concern in your mind? You've played before, Belton. Is that a concern when you're not blowing these teams out? Or no, it's just goes to show how hard it is to get any win in this league.
Well, I think it's hard to get any win in the league, right? And, you know, I think one thing we keep forgetting are the number of injuries and everything that the Riders have had, you know, up to this point and everything, right? And, you know, just that alone and what they've been able to overcome, I'm okay with. And the fact that they can, when they stick around, they're competing at the entire game, I'm okay with that. Should they have probably blown this team up based on what we've seen, you know, the Red Blacks being a bad team, the Argos being a bad team? Absolutely. I feel like I'm wanting more on offense. I think I'm getting everything I want from the defense. You know, special teams has been okay. It's the offense that I want to see more of. And even when I say I want to see more, Britton, you know, Trevor Harris, he had over 300 yards passing. What are you talking about? You want more, Bell? What, you want to throw for 500 or – But I think I want to see those. I want to see those big explosion plays that I saw early in the season, and you know those big explosion plays I'm talking about, Britton, are the 25-yard or the 30-yard passes downfield and even further, right? Like I haven't seen that in a while from this team.
No, we really haven't. I know another player you want to see more of is Joe Robustelli. He impressed you once again.
Oh, I love me some Joe Robustelli, man. And, you know, just, you know, when he catches the ball, he is angry when he runs, look like to me, right? Almost look like a let out there wide receiver to me. And, you know, with the depth that the wide receivers have on this team, I'm hoping he makes that playoff roster, man, because they have so much depth at that receiver position. And I hope that the way he played this past week against the Argos, that's going to stick in the coach's head. Like, yeah, this is a guy we're going to need moving forward here. Cause he can block too, right? I've seen him lay out some guys out there. And again, just his catch radius there and everything. I think he's done very well for himself.
Green Zone game day analyst Belton Johnson joining me today. Now the big conversation for the rest of this week and perhaps the rest of the regular season is going to be the rest versus rust debate, what Corey Mace has to decide. Where do you fall on that? Do you want to see guys rested, or do you think some of these guys have to just play a little bit to get some of that rust off and ensure they don't come out flat in the playoffs?
I think it's going to be a fine line, right, Britton? You know, look at somebody like a Trevor Harris. You know, does he play this week? I don't think I play him at all. But, you know, the following week when they play the BC Lions, maybe I play him a half or something, right? Just because they don't have any, I guess, like meaningful game until playoff time, right? November the 8th, right? So there's going to be a fine line with Coach Mason, just the resting and everything, because I think he's going to have to lean on his experience when he was with the Argos there a number of years ago, right, to figure that out. Because some guys, they need to keep playing. Some guys, they're going to need that rest.
I completely agree, and I think the rest will help Trevor Harris down this stretch run. And plus, we want to see some of these other guys. Let's see what Jake Mayer has, right? Who maybe is someone you want to see a little bit more of besides Joe Robustelli?
And I do want to see Jake Mayer a little bit more. You know, I want to see him with the first string group out there, right? And, you know, playoffs, right? You never know what's going to happen injury-wise and things, right? So you need to get the best out of him too, and especially moving forward. Like, is this the guy you're going to want, you know, down the road and everything? And has he caught on to the playbook? Because the one thing I noticed, like, during the preseason, the regular season game that he got to play and everything, he didn't look all that good to me, Britton. And so is he a guy I want to play? Absolutely, I would.
And so, as you mentioned, they do play the Winnipeg Blue Bombers next, and really a meaningless game for the Riders in terms of where they're going to finish. And I think that's why you want to rest them, because Winnipeg, they're playing for a lot, and I think they're going to be an angry team after losing to the Elks. What do you expect in this next game?
Oh, man, the Bombers, and they're going over there to Winnipeg as well, right? And the Riders, they got the season series. They have nothing to play for. Yes, the Bombers have everything to play for. You know, just kind of looking at the standings with the Elks winning last week there. Like, could the Bombers get knocked out? Or I don't think they will, but, you know, even the crossover and everything. Yes, the Bombers, they're going to play. They're going to be playing their very best as far as the Riders go. They might be on cruise control, but hopefully not.
Absolutely. And so, Bell, before I let you go, it is Thanksgiving. I know we talked earlier, you're busy today. Well, what's on the menu when Belton Johnson's making Thanksgiving dinner?
Oh, man, Britton, I got, turkey, I got cornbread dressing, I got cornbread, I got collard greens with ham hock in there. Got the mac and cheese going, the sweet potato pie, the corn, and the pecan pie is out there and everything. And I keep thinking there's one more thing. My wife's like, oh, you need to make more of this. I'm like, dear, I think we got enough. Like, we got mashed potato gravy. And she's like, what about the vegetable? I'm like, mashed potatoes are vegetables, aren't they? So she might do a green bean casserole here as well.
All right, perfect. I'll be sure to show up after the show today.
Sounds good, Brent. Bring that appetite, man.
All right, you have a good one.
Have a good one.
Up next, we'll hear from today's practicing at audio from Jake Mayer, who is expected to be the starter this week. I'm Britton Gray, in for Jamie and Locker on the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. I'm Britton Gray, in for Jamie and Locker on the Green Zone for this Thanksgiving Monday edition of the show. Bottom of the fourth, still 3-3 in the Seattle and Toronto MLB game. Well, the Riders were back at practice, and Jake Mayer was the one taking the starting reps. So let's hear from the quarterback on what could be his second start of the season.
Jake, to get an opportunity this week, what does that mean to you to have that opportunity?
Man, it's awesome. Yeah, it's been a great year for us, obviously, and to be in a position where we are now, to grant some opportunities for guys on our team to show who they are, and to continue to build momentum going into this playoff run is something that you don't get every year in the CFL. So, as a guy that's been on playoff teams, and teams that don't make the playoffs, anytime you get a chance to play, you gotta take advantage of those opportunities. You gotta embrace them.
Does anything change for you this week? I think you have said you prepare like a starter. Most guys do. What changes for you this week?
Just more vocal, obviously, in the huddle, more vocal on the field, making sure that you're communicating with the group that you're going to have out there with you as much as you can, a little bit more vocal in meetings, things like that. But in terms of like the preparation that the quarterback room has, myself, Tommy, Jack, Trevor, we're in there together as much as we can, talking things out, formulating the things that we need to do to succeed. So as far as that goes, that won't change. But definitely you have a little bit more of a voice when you're out there participating and getting the reps.
As a leader and a vet, you know the deal here where you get the opportunity because the team is so good. But how important is the message of, this isn't the team taking the foot off the gas at all?
You can't approach it that way, but again, I just go back to, and I've said this in the past, anytime you get the opportunity to play in a professional football game, regardless of what it means to the standings or anything like that, you have to show the organization that you belong, that you've earned the right to wear this uniform for this team, and you got to let it all hang out there like you are a starter, like you are a guy that plays every week. So regardless of what the situation is that we're in, we are going to play as well as we can. I think guys need to be able to prove that when they step on the field, there is no drop off, and you got to be able to execute just like the guys in front of you have.
The example last year, Nick had to play because Chad goes down. How important is it for you to get these reps?
I'm super grateful for it, obviously. That's a circumstance that we obviously hope we never have to see. He's a great example of that, a guy that's been in the league for a while. When he got his opportunity, he was able to lead his team to a championship. So, any opportunity I can get to get the live reps, the live bullets for the if necessary is going to be something I'm always going to be grateful for.
What has this year been like for you? You're so accustomed to being a starter, and it's a different situation this year. What's it like going through and experiencing
that? Man, I've observed a lot, probably more than I ever have, obviously. But it just goes beyond just staying on the sidelines and watching the game from that point of view. It's the week-to-week preparation. It's the seeing the offense and the team continue to build and see what that looks like, following the lead of Trevor and his leadership and just, taking little things here and there, that the example that he's setting for you every single day is something that I've been really appreciative for. And again, that's just from just observing the way that he handles his business. So I tell him all the time, I'm super grateful for him, being a part of my career now and me being a part of his. If anything, the observing of a great culture and a great coaching staff and a great veteran quarterback who's probably a Hall of Famer, like being a part of that every day has been really special.
The task this week, though, isn't easy against a Winnipeg team that held Hamilton to 3 points a couple weeks ago. Just what have you seen out of Winnipeg this week?
It's Winnipeg, man. They're gonna make offense difficult. They do what they do, obviously. As the season goes on, they have their wrinkles here and there that they add week to week, but they're the structure and they are the team and the culture that they've been for the last 5 years. They're always gonna pose specific challenges. I think they're one of those unique defenses that that is just kind of one of one in how they present themselves to you on a week-to-week basis. So it's going to be a challenge, obviously, but as long as we're detailed, we'll be very competitive. We'll be fun.
You have more confidence knowing that you've had a start already this year and you won that game, even just getting some game action.
Yeah.
And having opportunities already leading up, like this isn't your first game action.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, you definitely feel more confident because you've obviously done it with this group and with this team. Kind of getting the monkey off your back a little bit early on felt good. But, we're going to show up on Friday night with a purpose, and that purpose is to get better and compete as best we can.
Do you feel the enthusiasm of guys like Sean Bain and Mario Anderson and those guys?
Dude, there's so many guys that want to represent well and show this organization that they belong and that they're ready to compete. And kind of like you alluded to earlier, man, like you never know what can happen over the course of a season and when you're going to be called upon. So yeah, everybody's excited that gets a chance to go out there and compete because everybody here works hard. Like this is one of the hardest working teams I've ever been around. So anytime you get to see the work ethic that goes into this, now you get an opportunity to play and contribute. That's a great feeling for all those guys.
Week four was an awful long time ago. Mm-hmm. Which has been harder, staying engaged in mental or physical to make sure that you're ready?
Ooh, probably just the, I don't know if it's necessarily mental, but it's just the, like, keeping up to speed. Like, you know, there's nothing like game-like experience, right? It's hard to simulate that. So there's a lot of prep that goes into the film room and obviously the reps that I get behind Trevor every single day. But, you know, to be able to get yourself back into that fire again and feel the real speed of a real game, that's always the challenge. But I'm fortunate enough over the last 5 years where I've started plenty of football games, and once play one happens, it feels like another game.
Trevor is very complimentary often about you and what you have brought to him in his game. What's he brought to you?
Oh, man, just how to lead. How to lead. I think that's one of the biggest things and my bigger takeaways from Trevor. And then, you know, the things that he does in his prep, I tell all the time, there's a lot of things in his preparation that I'm definitely stealing going forward for the rest of my career. But just the way that he leads the group every single day, he's the same guy every day. And he just brings that energy and that focus that's undeniable. And I don't know anybody in the room that would ever, you know, not listen to everything he has to say. And when he speaks, everybody is very attentive and it means something. And so he's one of the best leaders I've ever been around.
Yes, Jake Mayer has been in behind Trevor Harris all year, learning from the veteran and getting ready to possibly reset his career after, of course, it didn't end well in Calgary for him. Coming to Saskatchewan, reunites with Mark Mueller, and I'm intrigued to see what this offense looks like this week. Yes, we know that they're probably going to be sitting more starters than just Trevor Harris. Who knows what that receiver group will look like? Mario Anderson, I believe, was taking most of the reps at the starting running back spot. So there will be some changes, but Jake Mayer and Mark Mueller kind of really know each other. And some of Mark Mueller was, of course, in Calgary when they made the decision to move off Bo Levi Mitchell and go with Jake Mayer. He knows Jake Mayer, knows his strengths, and some of the best seasons they had were when he was with Mark Mueller. So interested to see how maybe the game plan changes. As I mentioned, during training camp, he had the best deep ball out of the whole group. Maybe see some more deep shots out there. We'll have to wait and see exactly what the receiver room will look like, as mentioned. But it's a lot of excitement around Saskatchewan. And now, I know there's the whole debate about getting hot at the right time. You absolutely want to be playing your best football at this time. But there was always going to be this when the Riders clinched a couple of weeks where you really can't build much momentum because you're going to be sitting guys. It's about preparation, getting guys healthy, and we'll have to wait and see exactly what this lineup looks like. And then, of course, the Riders hosting the West Final on November 8th. We'll see who they welcome here, whether that's Winnipeg maybe, though they just lost the Edmonton Elks and look like they might be heading to the crossover. Calgary, Riders haven't beaten Calgary yet. The BC Lions, have to wait and see about that. But the injury report, of course, did come out earlier. Sean Bain Jr. out with running with the starters. Of course, good to see that. Tavon Campbell, also with his head injury, he was back out there as a full participant. But a lot of DNPs did not participate. So, of course, Trevor Harris was a DNP. Keyshawn Johnson with the knee. That'll be something to keep an eye on. Of course, another thing to keep an eye on, Brett Lawther not practicing again. He's still dealing with a back injury, it looks like. Michael Hughes is the American kicker that they signed. I think they're excited about him. You usually don't sign an American kicker at this point in the year unless you really want to give him a go. It looks like that might be the case this week. We'll wait and see, though. Brett Lawther did go 5-for-5. And then Dante Myers, Roland Milligan, Shane Ray, Marcus Sales, Malik Straker, Tommy Stevens, all not practicing ahead of this game here against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. That, of course, doesn't mean a whole lot for the Riders. But Winnipeg, they are battling for a playoff spot still. I think they eventually do clinch a little too late for the Elks, but we'll wait and see. Coming up next, we'll revisit my chat with Jamie and I from earlier as he provided an update from Riders practice. I'm Britton Gray in for Jamie and Locker on the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone. My name is Britton Gray, and I'm in for Jamie and Locker on this Thanksgiving Monday edition of the Green Zone. Well, the Jays and Seattle Mariners still tied at 3 apiece. Still, the Mariners now have two guys on base looking to take the lead. Well, the Riders are back at practice today. Of course, I was here hosting. We caught up with Jamie Nye earlier, who was the Rider reporter for the day. So, Jamie, that was practice for you.
So you make me go to the practice that's the coldest practice so far this year. It actually wasn't that bad out there. I've been in a lot worse Rider practices than the one today during this Thanksgiving Monday. But, yeah, an interesting one because we're all anticipating, okay, what's the plan?
Who is the quarterback this week?
It's Jake Mayer. he's playing QB. I imagine Jack Cohn might also get some reps a little bit. Maybe, not a lot, but this looks like Jake Mayer's game for sure. Jake Mayer and Mark Mueller and Corey Mace all talked about, you know, the conversation the coaches had to have with Trevor Harris. Of course, Trevor said, "I'll fight them." Corey was joking about that, saying, you know, "I came out clean." But no, it wasn't a fight to tell Trevor Harris. They know what's what. Last year, Nick Arbuckle had to play the Grey Cup for the Argos and won the Grey Cup. You know, they need Jake Mayer to be ready. They need Jake Mayer to get game reps. They need Trevor Harris to rest his arm and be as fresh as possible for the West Final. These are things they need to do, and that means Trevor Harris doesn't need to play, I don't think, anymore for the rest of the season, although I'd expect to see him back next week. Corey was asked by Daryl Davis, you know, what's the plan for next week? He's like, next week? I don't even know what's for lunch today, let alone what I'm going to do next week. So it'll be that'll be TBD on how they look next week. But this week it looks like a lot of guys who you regularly see won't be playing a lot of reps, if at all, on Friday.
You wrote a commentary you can find on CJME.com, CKOM.com, about it's up to the coaching staff to kind of protect Trevor Harris from himself. He wants to be out there based on your talking and that commentary. You agree with this move, right? It's the best move for this
game. I don't think Trevor Harris has to play at all for the rest of the season. Like he's played 16 games. 15 games this season. I think he's good. Now, we've seen other teams do different things in the past. I was looking at Winnipeg in 2022. Zach didn't play in the 17th game. And then he played a few series in the 18th game, and that was it. Drew Brown and the other quarterbacks handled the rest of it for the Bombers in 2022. We saw what Argos tried to do last year, but Nick Arbuckle did get playing time, and that was huge for, you know, the Toronto Argonauts to have Nick be able to get some reps in. So you see different teams do different things. Now, Toronto in 2022, that was a different era. 2023, that was a different animal. They had that clinch for 2 months. That was really hard. So I don't think it's comparable to what the Riders need to do here. But, yeah, Trevor Harris, rest his arm, rest his body, let him be as fresh as possible. Because you know the prep's going to be there. He's going to be in the room with Jake and there and Mark and everybody else to be ready for the West Final.
Does it matter who the opponent is this weekend? We're talking about a Winnipeg team, physical. They're battling for their playoff lives now after kind of losing to Edmonton. If it was a team like Ottawa or something that's already eliminated, do you switch your mindset or no? Was he always sitting this week?
Nope. Didn't matter to me. They could be playing a high school team. Didn't matter to me on who's playing what, when, and how, or where. It was rest Trevor Harris, have him. And Jake Mayer needs reps.
Yes.
He needs live reps. A lot of these guys need live reps. I was talking to Mark about, you know, Mark Mueller, the offensive coordinator, about not only Nick Arbuckle, but in 07, the Riders needed a bunch of backup receivers to play in that Grey Cup game. And, you know, so you'll get Dell Duncan Busby. You will get a Joe. You will get Sean Bain Jr. You will get these guys live game rep. Mario Anderson instead of AJ Ouellette. You'll get these guys some reps. Even on the offensive line, like Braden Knoll, center, was taking a lot of the reps. Washington, right tackle instead of Jamarcus Hardrick. There was a lot of guys up this week we haven't seen a lot of in the starting receiving core.
The Green Zone's Jamie Nye joining us and Rider reporter for the day as he was out there for me today. And so Brett Lawther, 5 for 5, a lot of people feeling more confident. Was he out there or is he maybe getting another week off?
I'm going to assume you're going to have to ask Corey about kicker tomorrow because it was all about quarterbacks and rest. But it to me, it looked like Michael Hughes. I get there and they're doing the field goals and Michael Hughes is doing the 25 and then he's kicking from 30 and 37 and 42 and 52 and 55. Like Brett didn't even have a helmet today. So it was all the American kicker Michael Hughes. Of course, Campbell Fair was released yesterday. So we will – I assume it's going to be Hughes kicking this week. It just makes sense to me. Doesn't it make sense to you, Britton?
It really does, yes.
Like, you brought him here, and yes, Brett's 87.5% over the last five games, but you brought the American here, I assume, and Tavon Campbell might be in this week. Like in the starting secondary, when they were out there, Tavon Campbell was at corner. So that's the move we were talking about last week. Tavon Campbell comes in, you take your American guy off, and you take the Canadian kicker off and put the American kicker on. Done. So I think that is how it'll look on Friday. I think that's how it's going
to
look.
We'll
on
have
Friday.
To wait and see. You spoke about Tavon Campbell being out there. Any other moves we need to be aware of that they might be making this week? Anyone getting healthier or anything like that?
Well, it was reassuring that Nelson Lacombo was out there in a jersey with a helmet. But after a lot of the sessions and things like that, he went with Dan Farthing, the strength and conditioning coach, and did a lot of the same stuff we saw Sam Emelis and Kian Schaefer-Baker going through a week or two before they would return to the lineup. So I'm not sure we'll see Nelson Lacombo, but by the West Final, I imagine we'll see Nelson Lacombo, which is great for the ratio, great at safety. You can move C.J. Revis back or not. Or he's just a great backup and special teams player you have just in case of an injury, because the way the ratio, three Canadian receivers, two A.J. Allen, and then Tavon Campbell, you don't need to go Canadian safety. But Jackson Ford has a brace. He looks like he's getting close-ish. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Tavon Campbell, as I mentioned, was taking some of the first-team reps.
And just so, what do you want to see from this Riders team in this next coming week? We know they're probably resting a bunch of starters. It will be tough to win in Winnipeg, even if the starters were playing. So what do you want to see from the team this week? Or is it just kind of go through the motions?
No,
right now?
No. Man, Josh Bell revved me up. I'll be honest, talking to him today, because I talked to he's not the defensive coordinator, but he handles a lot of that work with Corey Mace being the head coach. But I talked to he and Mark Mueller and Coach Mace about this. You can't let your foot off the gas. Even though it's not the regulars that might be up, that intensity has to be there. The guys who are down this week because of rest need to, you know, be on the sideline and see these guys giving a bleep about how they're doing. And that's what I want to see. I want to see intensity, enthusiasm, and I want to see the team that wants to go into Winnipeg like they did in the Banjo Bowl and punch the Bombers in the mouth. Like, that's, it doesn't matter who you are. Mario Anderson may not be the starting running back, but he should want to run through the linebacking core of the Bombers just as bad as A.J. Ouellette does. Going through the motions is the last thing I want to see. I want to see intensity, enthusiasm, all that stuff. Like we saw from the Argos, right? Their season was done. They didn't have anything to play for. That didn't look like they didn't have anything to play for on Friday against the Riders.
Well, that's the Riders practice update. There's a lot of sports to talk about. Jamie, do you mind sticking around? Joining me next?
Let's go. Are we talking about the Raiders? Big win.
Yeah, let's talk about them and not what the Dallas Cowboys did over the weekend.
I don't agree to that. I want to talk about the Cowboys too.
Another sport going on, of course, is the Toronto Blue Jays and Seattle Mariners, and I got some bad news for Blue Jays fans after we get back. I'm Britton Gray here on the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone. My name is Britton Gray, and I'm in for Jamie and Locker on this Thanksgiving edition of the Green Zone. And well, Blue Jays fans, I did say I had some bad news.
Shot to right center field. Varsho on the run. He's at the track. He's at the run. It's gone! It's Polanco again! Jorge Polanco is owning October for the Mariners. He's given them a 6-3 lead.
Yes, a 6-3 lead for the Mariners as the Jays need to win this one. But prior to break, we revisited the first half of my talk with Jamie Nye. Let's now go back and revisit the second half with Jamie Nye, who was, of course, the Rider reporter for the day. But he also got to enjoy his Raiders handling business on Sunday.
I did. Finally, it's been a while for the Raiders to get a W. But when it was the Tennessee Titans at home, you better beat the Titans at home. Like, seriously, the Titans are down there with, like, the Carolina Panthers. Those are teams you just have to beat, right, Britton?
Yeah. Speaking of Carolina, the Rico Dowdle revenge game. He didn't get 200 all-purpose yards, just 180-ish, and ran over them. And the Cowboys, Dak Prescott could be the NFL MVP this season with what he's doing. They might finish 8-8-1 because, oh boy, if only the Dallas Cowboys had Micah Parsons on their team to get after a quarterback late, because that defense is terrible, Jamie. Eberflus should be fired.
Oh, jeez.
I'm done with it already.
Okay. I'm not sorry I brought it up, but yeah. The Carolina Panthers. That was a big game for the Carolina Panthers. They have a better record than the Dallas Cowboys now.
So do a lot of teams. It's terrible. Over. Anyway, let's move on before my blood pressure spikes through the roof.
It sounds like it's too late, Britton.
Maybe. The Kansas City Chiefs, a big win over the Detroit Lions. They looked much more like the Kansas City we're used to seeing than what we've seen so far this year.
You're taking on the 4-1 Lions. And this is a Lions team that a lot of people have playing in the Super Bowl. And yes, the Chiefs have been to a bunch of consecutive Super Bowls. But at 2-3 going into that game, a lot of people were picking against the Kansas City Chiefs. I definitely did with the Detroit Lions, and there you have it. Like, Travis Kelce, he was engaged, Xavier Worth, and Rashee Rice gets back in the lineup for the Kansas City Chiefs, too, coming up. That's another weapon to the arsenal. That defense, only allowing 17 points against Goff and Amon-Ra and Gibbs, and like, that was an impressive defensive performance. It was at Arrowhead. It was in prime time.
Talk about the reffing. Zero penalties for the Kansas. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but anytime there's zero penalties.
Have you watched the Chiefs games? They've had a lot of calls go against them this season, so let's slow down on the Chiefs.
I wish they would have let that Goff touchdown stand, though. That was fun football that just got taken away.
Too bad. But anyways, the Chiefs are now 3-3. And remember their schedule. Their schedule was front-loaded with a lot of tough teams. And they still have a few, right? Like the Bills. They have to go to the Bills. But after their bye week, it's the Broncos, the Colts, the Cowboys, Texans, Chargers, Titans, Broncos, Raiders. Like, they could finish this season 11-6, mm-hmm. 12-5 still. Like, this is, that performance shows Locker might be wrong on the Chiefs missing the playoffs.
Patrick Mahomes might throw for 600 against the Cowboys defense when they play. Also, just before we move on to the Blue Jays, which we're going to talk mm-hmm. about, just at the end, the fight at the end, a brawl broke out. I imagine something's coming down.
A lot of people gave credit to John Schneider's post-game speech, you know, going through with the Blue Jays when they advanced. I thought Dan Campbell's post-game speech was even more important than that one. That one's an easy speech. We win. Yay, let's go. What Dan Campbell said last night about his own player not being the Lions' way, that's not how we do things. Shame on him. That's going to be taken care of. That's more important. And that's why Dan Campbell gets it, man. I liked what he said after the game because that was a bunch of horse manure on Mahomes trying to dap him up, then kind of like, okay, whatever, and then he throws a blow at Juju Smith-Schuster. Like, what are we doing here? Like, what is that from Branch? The only thing, I think the Chiefs' biggest offseason move they can make is try to hire the security guy in Philadelphia. I forget his name, Big Joe or whatever they call him over in Philly, and just keep him beside Patrick Mahomes, because No player should allow Patrick Mahomes to get in there. And he got down to the bottom of the pile. And I'm like, that's your quarterback, man. What are we doing? I like Travis Kelce's attitude in that one. He was, nope, not getting in there at all. But, yeah, can't have that, especially post-game and everything else. That was not a good look. And that was not a good look on the Lions. And good on Dan Campbell for calling out his own player.
All right, let's switch gears here. The Toronto Blue Jays, tough first game loss to the Seattle Mariners. But I mean, when you only score on the first pitch of the ball game, you need to be better offensively.
Hey, Kevin Gausman, what the heck are you talking about? It's on you?
What? Yeah.
Two hits from that Blue Jays offense. And one of them was on the first pitch. So they got one hit through the rest of the lineup the entire way. That wasn't on Kevin Gausman. Again, this Blue Jays offense, if they're not going, they're losing. But the Mariners pitching staff is a bit better than the Yankees, isn't it?
I think we
got reminded of last night. But we'll see. Coming up, you know, in a couple of minutes here in Toronto. This offense, who knows what you're going to get. You can get one or two runs, or they could go for 11. Mm-hmm. But I believe the roof's open today in Toronto. It's a nice day there for Thanksgiving, and they're almost unbeatable when that lid's open. Maybe they're inspired by looking up at the CN Tower.
And Trey Savage getting the start today. Very impressive first time out. Quite the task he has with him in facing that Seattle lineup led by, of course, the catcher, Cal Raleigh.
Well, yeah, big dumper, right? So he hit the home run that really sparked the Seattle move. But the Yankees were baffled by Trey Savage. I'll be very interested because where the Mariners are on how much their hitting coach and analytics and all that have looked over his release point, because his release point's a lot different than most, and see if they figured him out. Because I think this young guy could baffle the teams that haven't faced him before and haven't seen that release point. So I'll be interested to see how it works for Trey Savage.
One of the things I'm very interested in seeing is the mood in the newsroom when everyone's there with Kevin Martell, who is a Mariners fan, Andrew Shepherd, a Jays fan. They're good buddies, but buddies are off sometimes during these series. Yes, during the playoff matchup, we'll have to wait and see what the newsroom is like. Of course, they're good friends, but going at it. I'm Britton Gray here on the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.